Welcome to her art podcast, a project for art lovers, especially art created by women. In our fifth episode, we will talk about Marisol Escobar, the forgotten star of pop art. My name is Nata Andreev, and I'm going to tell you seven curious facts that you didn't know about the artist who fused pop art imagery and folk art in assemblages and sculptures that, together with her mysterious, Garbo-esque persona, made her one of the most compelling artists of the New York scene in the 1960s. The information provided in this episode comes from multiple sources and is not mine. All authors are credited on her art blog on Medium. Curious fact number one. Marisol Escobar, who adopted Marisol as her name when she began exhibiting in New York, was born in 1930 to wealthy Venezuelan parents in Paris. Her mother committed suicide when Marisol was 11, and she vowed never to speak again, a decision she persisted with until her 20s. She later said, "Silas has become such a habit that I really had nothing to say to anybody." In 1946, her father moved the family to Los Angeles, and 3 years later, at 19 years old, Marisol was determined to pursue a life in art, so she went to study in Paris. In the 1950s, she moved to New York, where she continued her education at the series of art schools. Curious fact number two. At 31 years old, Marisol made a startling appearance at the New York artist group known as The Club that would set the tone for her unconventional career. The club was male, exclusive, and drenched in its own importance. So when Marisol arrived to participate in a discussion wearing a white mask over her face, she caused consternation and even anger. As the discussion began, there was an uproar demanding that she remove the mask. A legion of offended men shouted and stamped their feet. "Take off that goddamn mask," they insisted. And eventually, Marisol obliged. Underneath, her own face was painted white, just like the mask. Curious fact number three. Skilled in drawing and wood carving, her nuanced pieces had wit and, at times, offered a withering critique. While she is renowned for her work with family groupings and mother and child motifs, she also made pointed commentaries on political figures in her sculptural portraits. In 1962, for example, she made a cast of her face with a full Coca-Cola bottle rammed down the mouth and called it love. Nevertheless, the American public and critics lapped up the work, and by the end of the decade, Marisol was firmly established as an art star. Curious fact number four. Her sculptures were giving a room to themselves in a group survey called Americans 1963 at MoMA. And her follow-up solo show in 1964 was overrun. Viewers came at the rate of 2,000 a day, noted Lawrence Campbell in Cosmopolitan. Among them were not only everyone who counts in the art world, but the kind of people one does not expect to find in an art gallery. Mothers with five children, for example. The following year, Marisol was the subject of a profile by Gloria Steinem in Glamour magazine and another by Grace Glueck in the New York Times. 3,000 people stood in line to get into Marisol's 1966 show at New York's Sidney Janis Gallery. And 2 years later, her work was included in the Venice Biennale. She was also one of only four women among the 150 artists at the influential Documenta exhibition in 1968 in Kassel, West Germany. Curious fact number five. When she met Andy Warhol, he immediately fell under her spell. He put her in two of his films, Kiss and 13 Most Beautiful Women. They were seen at all parties together. She took him and a friend to a party filled with abstract expressionists, almost all of whom detested Warhol and everything he represented. Marco Rodko, whose personality was in every way the opposite of Warhol's, took the hostess aside and asked her, "How could you let him in?" She replied, "But what can I do? They came with Marisol." Her reputation as a party girl in the magazines and the very nature of her name, Marisol, Sea and Sun, were instrumental in making her an icon. Curious fact number six. At the peak of her career in 1968, with the world convulsing violently, Marisol embarked on an extensive period of foreign travel. She went to Asia, Tahiti, the Caribbean, and South America. After 5 years, she returned to work. But the art scene had changed, and she no longer fitted in. She turned to more mythic, folk-oriented work, carving mahogany fishes, and explored the more private world and semi-surreal works on paper filled with violent imagery, bearing titles like "Lick the Tire of My Bicycle" and "I Hate You, Creep, and Your Fetus." Curious fact number seven. "In the 60s, the men did not feel threatened by me," Marisol said later in her life. "They thought I was cute and spooky, but they didn't take my art so seriously." She approached the gender inequities of the art world not with feminist passion, but with a calculated silence, using mystery and aloofness to affirm her position as a serious artist. In 2016, Marisol died from pneumonia in obscurity, forgotten and overlooked. Perhaps she preferred it that way. When asked in 64 how she would like her work to be seen by critics and the public, she seemed puzzled by the question. "I don't care what they think," she said. Thank you so much for listening to the fifth episode of season 3 of Her Art Podcast, a project for art lovers, especially art created by women. If you want to follow more of what I do, find me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to tune in next month when I'm going to tell you about Pan Yulian, one of the first graduates of the Shanghai Art Academy. This is the fourth episode I'm recording during COVID-19. I hope everyone is safe and takes care of themselves and their loved ones. See you later.